Our passage of scripture this morning, as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount, starting Matthew chapter 6 today, Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. When I was 7 years old, I listened to the radio a lot, and one of my favorite songs was Secret Agent Man. I still remember listening to it as a child. Secret Agent Man, Secret Agent Man. You know, the one who lives the life of danger and all this. And I was so into it. And I thought, you know, maybe as a kid you think like this. When I get older, I'll be a Secret Agent Man. And it's just what I am. And what all of you are or can be, because Jesus calls us into being secret agents of his grace. Secret agents that do good deeds and nobody knows about them. That's what he's talking about here. Doing these different things that will honor Christ. And when you do them, maybe nobody, except maybe the person you do it for, or maybe a very few people will know about it, because it's part of your secret work for Christ. Now, as we look at this passage, the first thing I want us to notice is that it says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, and that's my first point, it's when you do your charitable deeds. It's not if. Verse 2, when you do a charitable deed. Verse 3, but when you do a charitable deed. Jesus repeats this twice. This passage is a lot like James 1:2. In James 1:2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Not count it all joy if you fall into various trials. And so we see these kind of things are inevitable in the life of Christians, or anybody as far as trials is concerned. One thing that's inevitable for Christians is trials. We will fall into trials in this sinful world. There's no way around it. And then the second thing that should be inevitable for all of us is that we will do charitable deeds. We will do good deeds. That's part of being a Christian. That is something Jesus expects from us. And there's a reason for this. Now, charitable deeds, as I just said, and good works are not optional for Christians. We are not saved by our good works, except by Christ's good work, which he did on the cross, which we celebrate today with the Lord's Supper. We're saved by what he did, but because we are saved, we do good works. It's part of what we do. Our salvation is by grace and through faith. God saves, as it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so our works don't save us. But then look at the next verse 10. It says, We are his workmanship. This is my words here. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, his artwork, his beautiful poem. All our lives should have a made by God, crafted by Christ quality about them. Because it's God who's working in us to will and do his good pleasure. Because God is there, we should expect good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And that word workmanship means just what I was saying in my notes. It means his masterpiece, his work of art. His beautiful poem is probably the best translation from the Greek of that. That's what each of us are, and we're made to do good works. And because God is working in us, and because he is that masterpiece artist, if he signs his name to us, we should expect that this is something glorious, something beautiful. Now, we don't all have the same good works, and some may have more than others, but we all should have our beautiful part in what God does. When God means good works are inevitable for us, we see in this passage, you know, when means good works are inevitable for us, even the hypocrites do them, and we need to excel them, remember. He says, "Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do." And many times I've quoted from that with a little, "Doo-doo-doo-doo." You know, this is what the hypocrites do. They sound a trumpet, and then they do their good work. "I'm going to give to the poor." And they show everybody needs to see them. They're on camera doing it. And Christ says, you need to excel that. He says, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, the one way we excel the scribes and Pharisees in regard to good works is not necessarily by outgiving them, because they might have more money than us and be able to give a whole lot more than we are. But the way we do it is by giving secretly, by giving without people knowing, by doing our kind deeds without the fanfare. And so this leads to the second point, which is do not be a popular man pleaser. Jesus says, "Do not take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Now, the Pharisees were definitely men pleasers. They were like politicians, and in a way, they're worse than politicians, because politicians have to do that to get votes. They have to put themselves out there and make themselves known. But Pharisees, as leaders that are religious, don't have to do that. Sometimes, you know, we do it to get people into the church, but we don't need to do our good deeds that way. And, you know, so often today, you know, there's the wanted likes in Facebook nowadays. We want to be liked. We want to be popular. We want to be up front in front of everything. And Jesus says about these people, he says they receive their reward. They get the fanfare. They get the people following them. They are popular. They receive their reward. They reach the top, you could say. And yet Jesus says, if you look, you know, we're studying the Beatitudes, and I chose to do Matthew, but every once in a while I want to look at Luke, because Luke also recorded the Beatitudes, and he says in Luke 6:26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophet." Now, that's not a beatitude, actually. That's the opposite of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes were always blessed. But Luke shares the woes. And he says, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." And you know, there's certain people they're popular in the media, everybody loves them, and falls all over them. And sometimes even preachers are in this category. Maybe not so much today, but he says, woe to you if that's the case. And then he says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If we gain everything in this world, and that's what men pleasers are trying to do, they don't want to offend anybody. They want everything perfect. They want to gain the whole world. And what a challenge this is today. Because we do have social media, and we do have, even as churches, we need to advertise, don't we, to make ourselves known so that we can make Christ known. And all these churches are advertising and telling how great they are. And yet, if we're Christians, how do we advertise? How do we make ourselves known? Well, we want to be humble, don't we? We want to do what's right as far as Christ. And there's a sense that the secret agent part is hard. And advertising is part of our culture. And I think, too, we have a biblical okay for some kind of God-glorifying advertising when we think of, look back on verse 16 of chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It almost seems like he's saying at one point, let them see your good works. And then at another point, he's saying, do not let them see your good works. Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And you could almost say, it's confusing, isn't it? But it's really not, because the first time he says, let them see your good works and glorify your Father. Your true good works will be seen, and they will be those that honor the Father. But in your heart, if you're seeking glory from men, if you're seeking somebody to slap you on the back and say, good job, if you're seeking that, then you're in the wrong. And some of our good works will be seen by people. But if we're, and it's great if it is, but not if we're in our hearts trying to be seen by people, making ourselves that way. I was like this one time. I remember as a young Christian, I was in college, and I was a runner, and I was running on a day that it was snowy, and these people were stuck in the snow with their car, and I pushed them out, and nobody saw me do it, just the people that were there. I pushed them out, and it was about lunchtime in the dorm, and I went down and sat with all the Christians, and I had to tell them what I did. And it was inside of me in the worst way, and one of the young men that was a little longer in Christ than I was, because I had just become a Christian, he pointed out these verses. He says, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And he was right. I really needed that. I wanted to be people to know that I did a good deed, and I didn't need to. It would have been just between me and God, because there was nobody else there other than the people if I would have just left it. And we can't be like that. I know my heart was wrong at that point. But third, the opposite of trying to be a men pleaser is obviously being a secret God pleaser. You know, it's not only that we're hiding our deeds from men, but we're realizing there really is somebody who's watching us. God sees us. And we are aiming to please him. As it says, Jesus says, verses 3 and 4, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I remember when I was even younger than 7 years old, when the Secret Agent song was on, I remember I used to run in the backyard, and I would look up at Daddy and say, Daddy, look at me run, how fast I am. And I wanted to please him. And we should have that same kind of desire to please our Father in heaven. What are we talking about here when it says charitable deeds? Well, anonymous giving, Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I know some of you do that because I'm the only one maybe who knows that you gave to this or that. Favors without fanfare and no trumpets. Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. And I know some of you do that, and I'm not going to tell anybody on you because it's what you've done that was done in secret. You're constantly doing kind deeds for people around you. And this is how Jesus was on earth. He was quiet when he did his deeds. Sometimes he told people, and you'll all remember the different passages, he'd perform a miracle and he'd heal somebody, and sometimes it was in secret, and he'd tell that person, "Don't tell anybody." And it was hardly ever listened to. They usually would tell everybody. But in Isaiah, this is spoken of in prophecy about Jesus. Isaiah 42, 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, my servant who I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." And we know this is about Jesus because the Gospels quote it. Matthew 12, 18 and 19 says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel," or the King James says, "strive, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." Now, when God says this, and when Isaiah prophesies this about Jesus' coming, and particularly when it says his voice, he will not cry out or make his voice known in the streets, it was typical in those days that when a king or a ruler, and here God's own servant, comes into a place, that it would be made known. And before he came, his voice would be heard in the streets, and people were expected to bow down to that person and honor them. But when Jesus came, he came quietly. He came without raising his voice in the streets. And he came in a way that was so humble and so quiet that you could almost say that it was secret. This is how we are to be. We're to be Christ-like. We're to be humble, as it says also in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And this connects it even with our Lord's Supper. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in likeness, the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross." And so Christ came in this very extremely humble way. It says he made himself of no reputation. He wasn't here to honor himself. He came to honor God. Now he was honored because he is God. And because of the way he lived as a man, dying for our sins, he was honored. And we see that too. It says in verse 9, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so God did reward him because he was quiet. He sought that reward more than the rewards of man. We are to please God with good works. Colossians 3:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's how we please God with our good works. It's not that we do them in order to be saved, because we're already saved by the blood of Christ, but we want to please God. And so we do them, and we do them in secret. Pleasing God requires faith. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Notice that again. Without faith is impossible to please. That's our goal, is to please God. If we don't have faith, what do? We try to please men because we see we're accomplishing something then, right? If we please this person and this person and this person, we think we're really accomplishing something. If we do something totally in secret, we think maybe we're not accomplishing a lot. We're not advertising. People aren't noticing. Well, who's noticing? God is. And when we do that, even as a group, meaning each one of us as individuals has a group, God notices, and our church can grow even without advertising, because God would bless. I'm not saying we go without advertising, but I'm saying God can do that. He can bless. And when we seek to please him, that's our main goal. And that's why faith is a prerequisite to pleasing God, because we must believe that he's able to reward. He's able to reward us, even though we think the reward must be gained by pleasing men. Consider the rewards. Notice in verse 1, Jesus said, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. If you seek rewards from men, Jesus is saying you're not going to get a reward from your Father in heaven. And then he says in verse 2, that they may have glory from men, I say they have their reward. Meaning the hypocrites, they get the reward. They seek the reward from men and they get it. And then he says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's a wonderful verse when you think of it. Some think it's wrong to serve God for rewards, even heavenly rewards. And I've had people say that to me. Even people in our church, they'll say, Pastor, I don't want to seek God for rewards. I want to seek him just because I love him. And that's good. We should serve God because we love him. But Jesus says, seek him for rewards. And so I tell that person, I said, here's what it says. Jesus says we can seek rewards in heaven. The idea that it's wrong to serve God for rewards is not taught in Scripture. Secondly, we're told to seek heavenly rewards rather than earthly rewards. That later in this chapter, you'll see Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Meaning, you seek the heavenly things, and I'm not going into detail about the end because I'll do that later, Lord willing. But you seek the heavenly things, and I'll give you also the earthly things. These are rewards from the Father and not men, things we have from God. And then rewards, not just in the next life, but possibly in this life as well. Note, Jesus himself won rewards. The verses I just read from Philippians 2, 9 through 11, talked about him being gained and given a name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is on the throne. The great reward which we should desire from Christ is the one we also read about in the book of Matthew, Matthew 25, 21 through 23. Jesus says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then he says, he also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents beside these. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Notice there is in these verses promises of rewards that are both temporal, meaning here and now, and eternal, meaning in heaven. The temporal is in the form of increased opportunity for service. When we do the Lord's will, when we serve him quietly and secretly, like it says here, and do some good deed or share the gospel with somebody, we will see increased opportunities because the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you this task and now I want to give you this other task. And we may not hear an audible voice saying that, but we'll see that, well, God gave us this thing to do and blessed it as we did it, that other things will come up and he will bring them about in our lives. Opportunities for service, opportunities for reward. And then the ultimate reward is heaven when we hear Jesus say, well done, thy good and faithful service. And then he also says, enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what we look forward to. Now, ultimately, none of this we gained ourselves. Christ gained it for us when we were on the cross. Every reward is ultimately gained by what he did for us. And so we should remember that and be humble about it. And when we see in Scripture that those who have had Christ die for them are in heaven, what are they doing? The rewards they have their crowns and they're casting them at Christ's feet. And ultimately that's what we will do as well. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that in Scripture, Jesus shows us the right ways, the ways that we should work in secret, the ways that we should seek to be pleasing to you more than pleasing to men. And Father, we pray you'd help us to carry these things out in our lives. Help us to do good deeds. Help us to please you as we seek to do whatever we do. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.